It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. And during the week, you can reach us, watch us, Fox Business Network, FBN. Name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. It replays at 7. You want to see us at 4, you can't. Dial up your favorite 9-year-old, and she'll teach you how to DVR the show. And here, you can live stream us on the internet, LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com. Plays all across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system, including the Milky Way. So, we're going to do some stock market work. Roaring stock market. Roaring. And it continues to rise. The Dow is up 443 points in the holiday-shortened week. The NASDAQ, 125. The S&P 500, up 45 points. The S&P is 4559.34. And the Dow is 35,390. How about that? Big numbers. And we have Jim Urio, TJM Institutional Services, and Chicago's leading restaurateur. And we have Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial and Notre Dame's biggest booster. Gentlemen, welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you. Appreciate you doing this. So, I get, what's going to happen here? Kilberg's going to probably take a bow. Is that what's going to happen here, Jim Urio? Kilberg's going to take a bullish bow?
I'm going to take a deeper bow than Kilberg, because although I was not as good on the stock market part of it, I had gold and Bitcoin.
Well,
I'll tell you why if you let me finish.
Well, we're going right after. We were going to 100 last time we were on, for cripes sake.
No, and I said gold and Bitcoin. What's happened to those two things? They've outperformed the stock market. Yes, I was wrong in the stock market, and you were right. Please continue, Jeff.
I couldn't hear you. Can you say it again?
Yeah, I said that gold and Bitcoin, which were two of my three picks, have pretty much exploded. So how's
Bitcoin,
that?
Bitcoin, 37,746. Bitcoin year to date is 128.2%. All right, how about those apples?
My thesis on that, you know, like every time I go on a show, like, you know, what's the thesis? And they expect some complicated thing. No, it's not very complicated at all. When BlackRock gets into something, I kind of want to ride their coattails. It's broader adoption of Bitcoin. I barely even know what Bitcoin is, as I've said a million times. But if the big boys are getting up behind it, then I kind of want to be on that team.
All right. Dow's up 6.8% year-to-date, and the S&P 500 is up 18.7% year-to-date, and the NASDAQ is 36.2% year-to-date. All right, Jeff Kilberg, you're on.
Well, I'm not going to take a victory lap, Larry, but I do appreciate the little hat tip. But for those listeners out there, Jimmy, Yuri and I have been elbowing each other for decades now. We are very good friends, but we do like ripping at each other. But I was right, so I will appreciate that you guys are giving me a little hat tip on that. But let's look at the VIX. The VIX is at 12.5, Larry. It's one of the biggest drops we've seen in the VIX. And this is all due to the fact that after a really rough August, September, October, the month of November, we're on a four-week run here, and we're seeing the markets revert back to where they were because a lot of the money that we talked about was sitting on the sidelines. And we have seen earnings better than expected. So there's a lot of different components in here which are overcoming all the headwinds which we've seen. But with the VIX at 12.5, the S&P 500 at 4,600, it looks like Santa Claus is going to have the rally after all in the month of December.
Interest rates kind of flat up a tad. 10-year, 4.47. The three-month T-bill, however, is 5.39. So you have a very inverted yield curve, which often spells recession. In fact, the three-month bill to the 10-year note, when that inverts, it is virtually, I think historically, since World War II anyway, almost spells recession. So, Jeff Kilberg, stocks are not saying recession. Stocks look ahead by 6 to 9 months, classically, typically. So,
correct.
There's a disconnect here. I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but there's a disconnect.
There is, but I'm going to go back to where I cut my teeth in the markets, which was the 30-year futures bond pit in Chicago at the Chicago Board of Trade. And to your point exactly, Larry, what did we see in October when we really saw markets, equity markets, moving lower? It was the pain, it was the doom and the gloom, and it was Fed Chairman Powell talking about raising rates more. Well, the markets, for about a week after that Fed meeting in October, believed him. We saw the 10-year note go above 5%, and that was max yields for the year in the 10-year note. Once the market realized that, no, this cooler inflationary data is coming in, we're in a better spot than we have heard from the Fed, what happened to the 10-year note? It dropped 60 basis points. So to your point, I think the bond leadership, bringing the 10-year back down to 4.42, where it was last week, that has allowed equities to heal from a pretty couple rough months in September, October, and August as well.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
Jim Urio, what is the outlook here? I mean, let's get right down to it.
So I think that this quarter four is going to be great. I think there's a lot of people who feel wealthy. A lot of union contracts have been negotiated, and a lot of people, a last hurrah, and I think there's going to be a massive hangover in Q1. And it's not just me saying it, too. The market still says the Fed is going to begin its eases by late spring, early summer, and by the end of 2024 have eased by 75 basis points. You mentioned the yield curve being right now 2s versus 10s is about negative 40, let's call it. And I have a steepener trade on because my thesis is that as soon as the Fed starts to realize that things are declining, and they are, small business optimism, lowest since 2013, that's below the depths of the pandemic. You know, and credit card debt, $1 trillion, and the upward slope of that since April 2021 is what's really alarming to me. And I think there's a lot of bills that are coming due in the first, and I even not even mention commercial real estate, which I think is one of the biggest risks. And at that point in time, I think the Fed will lower rates on the short end. I think the government is too silly to stop issuing huge amounts of debt and will push bond prices, yields up in the long end. And that's why I think the curve will steepen. And historically, the curve starts to steepen right when we're when the recession is about to begin. So that's what I believe will happen. And the stocks, that's, it's all wonderful that they've done great over the last few weeks. They're still in a massive range that where the top was put in right around when the hiking cycle began. They still have to compete against higher rates. There's no such thing as money on the sideline anymore because money on the sideline is earning 5%. So I don't love the outlook of stocks, but I don't think it's terrible either.
How about bonds, Jim Urio? Run me down bonds.
So that's why I'm short the long end, because I just think the last two 30-year auctions have been sloppy as heck. And these are the first auctions that the Fed hasn't been involved in 15 years. So The market's saying to us, you're issuing too much debt. So I think in the medium term, the government is going to do something stupid, sell too many bonds, issue too much debt, and it's going to drive up rates on the long end. So I'm not interested in holding long end bonds. I am interested in rolling ladders between 3 months and 2 years just to keep the money on the sidelines making money. I think that's a beautiful place we're in.
Jeff Kilburg, bonds?
Yeah, I think bonds are, Jimmy is actually right. I believe you're going to see the curve stay. Yeah, sure enough. But what's fascinating to me is that, the market is dictating the long end of the curve. I know Fed Chairman Powell was happy that his, pounding of the microphone, talking about raising rates was allowing the market to do the job for him when we saw the 10-year go above 5%. But I think the 10-year note will be tethered to 4.5% or even move lower here as we talk about these potential interest rate cuts in 2024. But we're going into a presidential election year. I don't think we're going to see the market move lower. I know we're in a post-midterm election year, which has historically always been better. We talked about that 6 months ago when I was cautiously optimistic. But I think as we head into Q1, the consumer is still strong. Rates are moving lower. I think this really has the ability to move the markets higher, because the one thing no investors expected this market to move is up 15, 20%. And if I look right now, year to date, where are we at? The market's up 18%, so it's kind of a remarkable year, and I don't see the momentum fading going into Q4 or even Q1 of next year.
You know what's important, fellas? The dog that didn't bark. So you've got a Mideast war, and oil prices have gone, wait for it, down. That is very rare. Crude oil went up a smidge this week, but you got West Texas, $76.75. Brent crude, $80.58. Those things were cruising towards 100 a couple of months ago, and they've gone south. And by the by, gasoline prices have gone south. Now, that's welcome deflation, I would say. That's been a contributor to this stock market rally.
Yep. There's no question. And I, you know, that's the one thing I got really wrong last time we talked a month ago. Is I thought crude was going higher, and I still think it is. And I think, you know, the statistics have come out that the global recession is starting to creep into the vernacular, and I think there's a supply thing too. One thing that is people don't realize, like people who say, like, oh, this energy policy right now is fine, we're pumping so much oil. And the pumping of the oil right now is reflecting energy policies that were put in 5 or 6 years ago. That's how long it takes to get these projects to fruition. And the fact that we're not increasing projects now, the fact that Mike Wirth said, you know, we'd never build another refinery in this country due to regulatory hurdles, those things scare the heck out of me for oil over the next three-year period. But to your point, well, yeah, I got that one wrong. I got a couple
as long as you're talking about being scared, Jimmy, I think what's interesting is what our relationship with China is happening right now. And that China supply / demand is really affecting crude oil. And I think as we've continued to wait for China to reopen post-COVID from all their zero-tolerance policies, that's been really opaque and really hard to measure as a professional investor, yeah. Is when do we see China come back online? So that's the wild card. Larry, I don't know if tensions continue to ratchet up with the Biden administration. I don't know if we see some resolution or more demand come out of China, but that's the one thing we're having a hard time really putting our finger on.
China's never going to reopen. Why should China reopen? It's a socialist, communist country. It's a state-controlled economy. The free markets of China, of Deng Xiaoping, are gone. They're gone. They're never going to reopen. Never. Wait, it's one long historical slump lasting through the end of the century. You can quote me on that. We may not be around. We may not be around to discuss that call. But I'm just telling you, China will never reopen. The other thing, kids, is the Saudis don't want Iran / Hamas to win this war. They're not going to help them. They're not gonna, I don't think the Saudis want higher prices. They'll live with lower prices for now. The OPEC meeting's coming up when it was postponed. Is it this week or next week? I think they're going to be very benign. That's what I think. I think that's...
I have a different take on that. I think when oil starts to rally on its own, they could actually tighten the screws, because I think they still hold a grudge from us selling out the SPR for no other reason than just for politics.
No, it's about Iran. It's all about Iran. They don't want... Okay. The Gulf states secretly are rooting for Israel. They can't say that, I know, because of the Middle East, but they're secretly rooting for Israel. They don't want Iran any more than we want Iran. I think that's changed, you know, from prior Mideast conflicts. Anyway, I think it's had a very benign influence on stocks and bonds, the fact that oil and gasoline prices have come south, helped the CPI come south. That's just interesting, just a speculation here in Thanksgiving weekend. Jeff Kilberg is the CEO of KKM Financial. And Jim Uriel, wait, before we break, restaurants, give me TJM Institutional Services, but that's only part of the story. How are the Uriel restaurants doing?
I'm so glad we brought that up. Things have changed quite a bit since mid-October. The same amount of foot traffic, but people are making different decisions, and revenues have one of our first significant revenue falls in 11 years of ownership. So, and this is we're in a pretty upscale crowd too. But I think there are people who are sick of paying higher prices. And even with our 20% increases over the last year and a half, we're still down 10%. We're doing fine compared to a lot of other restaurants, but I expect a lot of closures in that.
Stop showing your face around the restaurant and that revenue will go back up, Uriel.
That's actually a great point. You win that one.
the guy's a great bartender. I'm just telling you, here's another thought. Deflationary recession on the horizon. Deflationary recession. We had inflationary recession in the first half of 2022. We may have deflationary recession in 2024. I got to take a break. They're screaming at me. Jim Uriel, TJM Institutional Services. Jeff Kilberg, KKM Financial. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking stocks and everything else in the world with Jim Urio, Director of TJM Institutional Services, and Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial. Jim Urio, what's the outlook for commodities right now?
See, I like it, and particularly ones like gold. I'm still quite long gold. And I think my ultimate base case thesis is that what I said before about the government issuing too many bonds, I think there's a point in the next 6 months where the market realizes that our auctions might not work unless the Fed at some point in time stops quantitative tightening or God forbid, reinstitutes quantitative easing. And then I think commodities will really scream because I think the dollar will get damaged. But right now, I like the outlook, particularly the ones that, as Dennis Cartman used to say, hurt when you drop on your foot, things like gold and silver.
Really, though, gold hasn't rallied since 1980, has it? Or was I sleeping? Did I miss something?
I'm not investing in it since 1980.
The heyday of gold was the 70s. Don't you think? I mean, honestly, Jeff Kilberg, no, I'll go to you on this. I need some objectivity. I mean, really, the heyday of gold was after we broke the Bretton Woods gold dollar exchange standard and gold soared, oil soared, all commodities soared. Since that time, I don't know, I'd rather own stocks.
You're not wrong, Larry. You're not wrong. We have seen gold move higher. That's been a function of the dollar. But I think what also has been really interesting is the way copper has traded. When we look at Dr. Copper to kind of be the bellwether to get us better understanding of the global macro picture, it's interesting. Copper is moving back above 380. I know it's a far way away from where it was, you know, a year ago, call it, you know, January 2022, when it was up above $4.50, but I think commodities are really interesting right now as long as we see the U.S. dollar stay where it's at. Now, if the U.S. dollar strengthens, to Jimmy's point, if the Fed rhetoric or talks about, you know, the long end of the curve moving higher, that may change the narrative in commodities, but I think right now it's a fascinating move with gold above 2,000, silver kind of being the laggard. You know, if you remember when gold kind of, going back 10 years, when gold popped above 1950, silver was up at $37. So you're seeing silver really being the laggard. So if you're looking for a mean reversion, maybe silver is the commodity to own, the precious metal.
Oh, don't let them play us out. I got more to add to that. Are we gone?
No, you're still around, but Bunker Hunt is gone. He's gone. Okay. That was the last
copper,
great silver play. Bunky Hunt.
Copper held in, even though China is opaque and we can't figure out what's
Jim
going on.
Jim Urio and Jeff Kilberg, the best of the best, two old friends. Thank you, gentlemen. Folks, up next, we're going to do some money in politics with John McIntyre of Real Clear Politics and Steve Moore. More money after this show, by the way, on most of these same stations. I'm Kudlow. Stick around. Lots more entertainment to come.